Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. Our guest speaker today is Bishop Joel David Trout. We want to truly thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join Bishop Joel David Trout as he begins his message.
Thank you for coming back. You may be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I want to give honor to Pastor Fee for allowing us this opportunity to be at Amazing Grace once again. Last week, we just had an amazing time. God really met us here. How many were here last week? Praise God. We appreciate you for coming back. And those of you that are new today, we're so glad you came. I see a friend of mine, Elder Brooks, glad to have you with us today. Thanks for coming to be a part of our fellowship today. There's a verse in the book of James that says that we are to receive the word as the engrafted word of God. Any of you ever heard of a skin graft where they'll take a piece of your skin from another part of your body or even a skin donor, and they will use that skin to cover a damaged area? And the Bible says that in James that the word, he prayed that it would be engrafted in us, which tells me that there are times when we receive a word, but it takes time for it to get engrafted. It takes time for it to take. And when they're taking skin from one part to another, it takes weeks and months for it to become a part of that body in that place. And so today, I felt led to revisit some of the things that we shared last week, because guess what? It takes time for it to get engrafted. And so many times we operate under the tyranny of newness in the moment and haven't gotten what we got last time. And I felt led, and the Lord gave me additional things to share with you today. And I really feel a deliverance in the house today, a change in the house. I tire of coming to church and coming to God's house and leaving the same way I came. Wait a minute, this place should be greater than going to a Denny's or going to a club, going to a Chargers Raiders game tomorrow. There should be something different. And when I encounter the word, there should be change. And the word that God has given me for you today is to add on to what we shared with you last week about idols and idolatry. You know, we look at idols as erecting something, some statue and bowing to it, and that is true. But there are other idols that we have today that God speaks against, and God has a promise for us if we can deal with our idols. You know, in Exodus 20, when God brought Israel out, he gave them the 10 commandments, not the 10 suggestions. One of the main commandments was, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. I'm the God that brought you out of Egypt. You should not make any image of me, any likeness of me. Don't get in your mind, this is what God is like, and then I'm going to create something that looks like him." Because what happens to us is that the thing that we make to represent something is not in reality that thing. And so what happens is, with idolatry, the representation takes the place of the reality. I make something to represent God, and then it will actually take the place of God. When the children of Israel did not see Moses for about 40 days, they say, oh, well, the guy's not here. Let's make us a God. If you didn't read it, you saw the movie.
Right.
And they got all their gold, put it in the furnace, and out pops this golden calf. And they begin to worship the thing than the God who brought them out. They worship the representation and not the real. And so that's why God said, I'm jealous. I'm jealous that you would worship that thing rather than me. The Apostle Paul picks it up, and in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, his encouragement to the believers was this. In verse number 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. In other words, you came in here in the flesh. You didn't come in the spirit. You know, when people are not able to make a service, sometimes they'll say, well, my spirit was there. No, we actually did not see your spirit. Paul says, no, let's keep it real. We walk in the flesh. He says, however, we don't war after the flesh. All of us who walked in here have a war in our bodies. All of us have a war in our minds that we're dealing with. Don't be fooled by my new clothes. Don't be fooled by my good looks and my hair. Don't be fooled by the red bottom Louboutin $900 shoes. We just have found ways to look better while we're in war. But the fact is, as Paul says, we do not war. He says that as if it's an assumption. He says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war. Paul is assuming that all of us have a warfare. Thank you, Jesus. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Thank you, Jesus. So he already goes into this assumption also, that the weapons of our warfare are not physical. Your warfare would be great if all it required you to do was to kill someone, to get rid of someone, that would be easy. He said, but the weapons of our warfare are not physical, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds are mindsets, speculations, ideations, thoughts, and patterns of thinking. The warfare that we're in involves the mind. And the weaponry for that is not physical, but it is mighty. Which means no matter what type of stinking thinking is in your mind, it can be brought down. Thank you, Jesus. I don't care what it is. I don't care who put it there. He says these things can be pulled down. Strongholds. Strongholds are mindsets that have been put there to paralyze you, to paralyze your emotions, to paralyze your reaction, to limit how you're able to deal with in relationships other people. He says, we have an ability to bring all that stuff down. He who the Son set free is free indeed. What good is it to know Jesus and still be bound? To know love but can't express love. Lord have mercy. To have experienced his love and cannot give it. The devil has still won. He says, casting down imaginations. When I talked about imaginations, I wanted you to see the root in imaginations, and that is image. An image is an idol. God said, don't make any images or idols. Paul says, we have the ability to cast down those images, imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So today I want to build on what we shared with you last week. And I want to talk to you about the gods of our fathers. The gods, the little g, of our fathers. I would dare say that you are impacted more by your parentage, the home that you were raised in, by the individuals who raised you, than anything in this world. When you're looking at a potential mate and trying to determine if this is the right one for me, I know you're looking at their figure eight, and you're looking at the hair that they bought and put in, and the liposuction or lack of liposuction. I've heard of young ladies saying, well, I want to get with him because our kids will be cute. They're making their decision based on he's got dimples, he's tall, he's fair skinned, he has good hair. I think he's the one for me. And you find out that he's Frankenstein. If you want to determine who someone is and where they're going, do a forensic study on their family life, on their parents. Or lack of parents. Some might say, well, I didn't have a daddy, so that didn't impact me. That probably impacted you more than anything. The guy that wasn't there and the phantom guy has impacted you more than you know. There's this controversy about philosophy, and that is this: are we impacted by nature or nurture? Nature being who you are intrinsically, your personality. Or are we more impacted by nurture, which is the environment that I was raised in? Some may say both. I can make a case that your environment had a striking impact on you and it impacted your nature. The cradle in which you were raised impacts your life. And I would dare say that we are impacted by the gods of our fathers more than anything. The idols, the images that my father had, they pass on to their children. That's why God told Abraham, leave your family and your kindred. Because his family, his father Terah, they were idol worshipers. And God says, I'm going to show you a land and I'm going to reveal that I'm the one true God, but you got to leave those idol worshipers. He left home, but he took some family with him. So he didn't obey completely, but at least he left. And God broke the silence of his idolatry and revealed, I'm the one true God, Abraham. It is our parents' idols. Think about idols as images or imaginations. You were impacted by the images you saw every day. The imagination. Those images have left imprints on you. And those imprints have determined many times what our default reaction is going to be in life. A boy sees, watch this, he sees an image of his daddy beating his mother. So what is he raised with? An idol, an image of men abusing women. In many ways, it becomes his default. He'll say, I'll never do that. But then a crisis happens and he finds himself doing what he saw. The image, the imagination, the gods of our fathers. You have a situation where there are no men in the families. There's no men. My great-grandmother, the man is gone. My great-grandmother, no man. My grandmother and my mother. And there's an absence of men in the whole generation. They were there, but there's an image that has now been perpetuating. And then the next generation perpetuates the same thing, the gods of our fathers. We call those things generational curses. But let me say this, when we talk about a generational curse, the curse is not that there's this demon force jumping family members. Because when we say curse, that's what we think. Well, we just have a generational curse. All the men are like this. All the women are like this. Here's the curse. The curse was that that's all they saw. Whew, Jesus. That's how the curse finds its way in the family. It's because that's the image that's been perpetuated. Any of y'all ever heard of R. Kelly? I believe I can fly. Amen. He wished he could fly now. He may do 100 years to life for trafficking and with minors. But I want you to understand this. If you Google R. Kelly interview childhood, just put that in Google. You will hear R. Kelly talk about the gods of his father. And what was the gods of his fathers? The imagery, it was of him being sexually abused as a child. Are y'all hearing me? His brother said, well, it's hard to imagine why and how he ended up the way he was because, well, that's all he saw growing up. And his father and his father's fathers. And so now we see the result of that. It was the gods of his fathers. The imagery that he saw constantly, and he adopted the god of his father, and it became his legacy. Oh, God help. And it becomes challenging because it's from my ancestor and there's an affinity and a love for my ancestor. So if I separate from them, then I'm separate from the people that raised me. Some of us were raised by wolves. And all we have are those images in the mind. But I'm here. I got some good news for you today. My God, it's possible to overcome the images that have been placed in your mind. Because if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things pass away, and behold, all things become new. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, the images that are playing in your mind. Come on and give God a clap offering right now. Oh, my God. So today, I'm going to give you two individuals from the Old Testament who dealt with the gods of their fathers. And I want to show you how they dealt with their father's gods. One was Rachel, found in Genesis 31. Rachel was the beloved wife of Jacob. Remember, Jacob had to work 14 years to get the girl he loved. Two sisters, Leah, the weak-eyed one, who his father-in-law fooled him into marrying. He went on the honeymoon. It was dark. He didn't know. He couldn't see. And when the morning light came on, it was, oh, it was Leah. My God. His father said, listen, we have to get her married, okay? But you can work another 7 years and you'll get Rachel. He loved Rachel. He amassed a huge wealth, cattle, children, wealth, till one day he said, I'm going to leave the old man, but if I let him know, he's going to try and stop me. So he takes out secretly to leave Laban. And when he reached a certain place, Laban found out that Jacob had left with everything. Laban took out after him, and it says in Genesis 31, then Jacob arose in verse 17 and set his sons and his wives upon camels. He carried away all his cattle, all his goods, which he had gotten, the cattle of his getting, which he had gotten in the Padan Aram, for to go to Isaac, his father, the land of Canaan. I'm going back home. Laban went to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the images that were her father's. Jacob didn't know that when he told everyone, get your stuff together, we're getting up out of here, that Rachel went and took her daddy's idols and hid them in the caravan. Laban came running after them, and when he found them, he overtook Jacob. He said, man, why have you done this? Why did you flee? Verse 27, I would have given you a party. I would have let you know that we're sad, but we're going to celebrate you. He said, man, it is in the power of my hand to hurt you. Verse 29, but the God of your father spake to me last night and said, don't speak good or bad to him. You know what Laban found out? Laban was worshiping idols, and he was going to kill Jacob, but he said, your God, the God of your fathers, protected you. The God of your fathers told me, don't hurt him. But I want my gods back. And he says, now, though thou wouldest needs be gone, because thou sore longest after your father's house, yet wherefore, why have you stolen my gods? And he went through the camp looking for his gods. Verse 34, now Rachel had taken the images and put them in her camel's furniture and sat on them. And Laban searched the tent and couldn't find them. So Rachel had hidden the images in her tent and sat there like, is there a problem? his sweet little Rachel had stolen his gods. I wanted to show you two reactions to the gods of our fathers. You see, Rachel had a choice. Leah didn't take the gods. Rachel did. You know what that tells me? You can choose whether you take your father's gods or not. I know there was perversion in the family, but you can make a decision. I'm not choosing that image for my life. Lord, have mercy. There's alcoholism. I'm not choosing that image. All I saw was my mama shooting up, but I'm not going to take that God. Help me, Holy Ghost. She chose to steal her father's gods and hid them and sat on them. The choice is yours today. That was her reaction to leaving her father. Well, let me at least take something of his. Whew. Which says that there's still the power of choice that God has given you. People have given up and said, well, what do you expect? My God. That there's one thing God gives you when he gives you the Holy Ghost, and it's the power to choose. My God. Choose you this day whom you will serve. My God. When you're on the devil's payroll, he takes away your power to choose. And he makes you a servant of sin. And he binds you and makes you an addict. My God. But when you come to Christ, he frees you from the bondage of addiction. Now you can say, I'm free. Oh, Yamahaya. I love your daddy, but I don't love your gods. Hallelujah. Family can't understand why you are the way you are. I can love you but not love your God. Thank you, Jesus. Rachel stole her daddy's gods. You've been using the excuse all these years. But there's Leah, and Leah didn't take her daddy's gods. Let me just add this, y'all. Rachel was the one that Jacob loved. Jacob said, if you find gods in the camp, kill whoever has them. He agreed with Laban, whoever stole your gods, we will kill. And God had mercy on her. But let me say this. It was also Rachel who died giving birth to Benjamin. It was Rachel who had the most problems having babies. And she's the one who died giving birth. Leah, fertile myrtle. She looked at Jacob, boop, 9 months, there it is. Like, my God. The little idol worshiper, her pain throughout her life was that she couldn't give more children to Jacob. Could it be that she cursed herself with her idolatry? Leah's last child was named Judah, which means I will praise my God. Lord, have mercy. That's all right. You might not like me, and I might not look good, but guess what? I ain't foolish enough to worship idols. So she chose to steal her daddy's gods. There was another person in the Old Testament faced with the same challenge, named Gideon. In the book of Judges, Oh, God. Somebody's getting delivered while I'm speaking. My God, years of bondage are being broken even now in the name of Jesus. The children of Israel had done evil in the eyes of the Lord in Judges 6. And he delivered them into the hand of the Midianites for 7 years. The Midianites prevailed on them to the point that the children of Israel were living in caves. And the scripture says in verse 2, strongholds, Judges 2. And it, so it was, and Israel had sown that the Midianites would come and take their food, take their crops, destroy their increase. Oh, my God. You see, that's what idol worshipers do. They take your increase. Children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And God heard their cry. In verse 8 of Judges 6, the Lord sent a prophet saying, thus saith the Lord, I brought you from Egypt, brought you out of the house of bondage. God is always interested in delivering us from bondage. The devil wants to keep you bound to, by hook or crook. Anything that happens to you, all the devil's concerned with is, does it leave you bound? That's all he's concerned. He don't care nothing about drugs. He just wants a way to keep you bound. Can I get graphic right now? Lord, have mercy. I was talking to my cousin, and he was telling about a mutual friend of ours who is stuck on drugs. This young man was great potential. His parents were saved. He was a musician in the church. And here he is now, 50 years old, still in and out of jail. And I've known this young man since he was a teenager, and he's still going to jail in and out. He's got grandkids, and he's still in and out of jail. I'm going to show you how the devil is, how deceptive he is. He confessed, he said, when they mixed that crack with his drugs, whatever he was taking, he said, imagine having an orgasm 20 times in a row in your head. And from that day, 30 years ago, he is still bound. You see how the devil does? It wasn't the drug. It's what can I do to keep him bound? Every time taking it, hoping for that first experience. That's too rough for you. Sorry. I'm trying to help somebody. We always wonder. We look at folks. I don't understand how they could be so bound. I don't understand how they could go back to that. You need context. Paul said, we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. Anything to keep you bound from fulfilling the purposes of God, that's what the devil will use. Here's Gideon. His people are being shamed by the enemy. God comes to them and says in verse 10 of Judges 6, I'm the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites. You don't have to be afraid of these idol gods of your fathers, because they're not gods in whom the land you dwell in. But you have not obeyed my voice. And an angel of the Lord came and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained to Joash the Abizrite. His son Gideon was threshing wheat by the wine press to hide from the Midianites. He was threshing wheat in the area that was reserved for squashing grapes. But he had to do it there so the enemy wouldn't hear him threshing wheat. He was afraid. He was a coward. The angel came to him and said, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Moi? Hold on to that thought. Hold on. Gideon said unto him, "Oh my Lord, if God is with us, why are we going through all this? Where are the miracles which our fathers told us, saying, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now he's forsaken us, delivered us to the hand of the Midianites." The Lord looked on him and said, "Go in this your might. Thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent you?" What does Gideon answer to what the Lord say? He said, "Oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? My family is poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house." That's it. Remember our scripture? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Hold that. Wait a minute. Here's the knowledge of God played out in the scripture. What does the Lord say when he sees Gideon? "You're a mighty man of valor. You're going to take the enemy down." That's the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God was, "You're great." Gideon responds, "I'm from a poor family, and I'm less than the least in my family, because the images in my mind are my family is poor and I'm less than least." The knowledge of God said, "You're powerful and you're mighty." Oh, Lord, have mercy. Do y'all get it? The Lord expressed what he saw. "And I am what the great I am says I am." The Lord said, "You're mighty." While he's hiding. Y'all not ready for God. Y'all not ready. While I'm hiding, the Lord said, "Hey, great Superman. Who are you talking to?" You want to know why? Because that's the knowledge of God. And even while expressing that he's nothing and my family is broke, God said, "Oh, I'm with you, boy." That didn't even move God. God said, "Oh, you're going to do this." Aren't you glad God don't think about what you're saying? Lord, help me right now. Because if I say you're mighty, you're mighty. But my family is poor. That's the image. We're always trying to convince God not to be God. God can't help himself. If God says I'm with you, that means you're a mighty something. And I keep trying to convince God, but I'm nothing. I knew that. But I'm with you. Some of you keep trying to convince God about your past. God said, "I knew your past when I called you, and I still called you." Now do something with that. Lord, have mercy. You mean to say that my power is not greater than your past? That my power can't overcome your family? And God said, "I ain't thinking about you. You're a mighty man. I'm with you." So I told you there's two reactions to the gods of fathers. Rachel stole her father's God. God said, "Gideon, I have this assignment for you." He says, "Fear thou not, thou shalt not die," the Lord says. He built an altar. And the Lord said, the same night, verse 25, take your father's young bullocks, even a second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that your father has. Cut down the grove. Here we go, y'all. Here we go. God says, you're going to save Israel, but you got to go to your father's backyard and tear down his idol. Now, this is Gideon that was hiding. Watch this, y'all. Oh, this is bad. I love this. This Bible's better than Netflix. Do you hear me? So he built an altar to the Lord. And in verse 26, he took the second bullock and offered a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove, which you will cut down. He took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was because he feared his father's household and the men of the city that he could not do it by day, but he did it by night. I'm still scared, but I'm gonna do what God said. Now, here's the bad point. And when the men of the city rose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down. Oh, y'all missed your spot there. That was a dance moment right there. The altar of Baal was cast down. Oh, somebody just got it. All right, somebody. I'm going to wait till everyone else gets it. The altar of Baal was cast down. Cast down. Where did I hear cast down? Oh! Wait, the weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down every imagined, cast down. Gideon cast down his father's idols. You can't tell me that word is not right. 1,000 years earlier, Gideon did just that. He cast his father's idol. Paul said, how do we get rid of idols? Ah, let's do what Gideon did. Casting down every image that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Whew. God knows you through his blood, which means he can't view you before the blood. He knows you after the blood, which means he's like, what are you talking about? I only see the sacrifice of Jesus. You're trying to remind me my family is poor and I'm less than the least. God said, what are you talking about? You're a mighty man. So how do we do this casting down? Because those were physical idols. Well, you got to consider yourself dead to your father's gods. That was an old me. I'm dead to that. You got to remind yourself of the knowledge of God. You're mighty while you're hiding. I like how God calls those things that be not as though they were. I'm afraid God says, you're mighty. Whose report will you believe? That's right. You don't owe your father's gods another day of worship. You don't owe them one more day of servanthood. Play out God's image in your mind. Replace that image that you see of your father and replace it with the image of Jesus Christ dying for you, raising you up. You are not your father's image anymore. You have a new father. Let us make man in our image and likeness. You don't owe your father's God another day, because you're made in his image. I don't owe those images any more adherence. I don't have to worship them. I love my daddy, but not his gods. Gideon did what Rachel wouldn't do. Rachel stole them. Gideon knocked them down. Where you knocked them down? Here. You see, we connect our images with our parent and don't realize you can separate the parent from the image. Because guess what? I realize they were also a victim of their parents' images. I'm going to be the one in my family who tears down that image. I'm the one. God picked me. God went to your family tree and stepped over others, walked past some and said, I want you. Like, God, why me? Because you're going to be the one, like he chose Gideon, you're going to save your whole people. I'm going to use one to deliver the whole family. Thank you, Jesus. You grew up thinking having a tattoo of a teardrop on your eye was, yeah. I'm a vato. That's your father's idol. And a lot of those guys are dead following that image. I tell you what, bring your tatted teardrop to God. Hell, glory to God. Though your sins be as scarlet, God said, I'll make them white as snow. My daddy tatted skulls and crossbones. Guess what God said in Isaiah? He says, I have tattooed you on the palms of my, you got it. The Bible says engraven. No, he tattooed you, which meant I'm committed to you. I have engraven your names on the palm of my hand. God said, every time I raise my hand, there you are. I love you. Put that image in your mind. Watch what happens to your life. It'll start to change. It won't happen overnight. That's why Paul says, you'll be transformed by the renewing. Renewing. You've been carrying around that God for 50 years. Lord have mercy. You've been dragging that God like Rachel. It's like moving out of the barrio into La Jolla. You're still dragging that old furniture. Flea bitten, roach infested. And we're used to the weight. We're used to the weight of the idol. So guess what the Lord is saying? Just let go. Each day. Some days are going to be better than others. Some days are going to be like, I'm free. Devil get mad. You'll get a call from dad. Just to remind you. But you got to keep casting it down. You cast it in your mind. That's not me. Boom! That's not me. I am what God says I am. I'm a mighty woman. I'm a mighty man of valor. I'm loyal. I'm committed. I have integrity. I'm going to keep my vows. I'm committed. I'm not like the people that raised me. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just give God a praise for the word right now. Receive it. Receive it. So we're going to have an altar call. What did God tell Gideon to do? He says, make a sacrifice. on the altar. So if you're dealing with your father's idols, the gods of your fathers, I want you to make a sacrifice right now. Put it on the altar. This is the area we call the altar. I just want you to make a step in the natural that symbolizes what you're doing in the spirit. And that would be by coming up here, Bishop, I'm willing to actually sacrifice my father's gods. It's a symbolic gesture. It's a symbolic gesture that says, I want my freedom back. I want my mind back. I want to love. I want to have fun. I want to enjoy. I want to rejoice, but I can't because I'm still angry about my father's gods. It's okay. We're all dealing with it. It's an idol. I was going to share with you last week, you know, our idols can be anything. Our idols can be food. I'm a foodie. I admit it. You know, back in the day, they used to say you're a pig, you're a gluttonous. Now it's I'm a foodie. It sounds nicer, doesn't it? I love food. I love food. I love food. But food became my comfort. So when I felt unloved or rejected, food never let me down. Chocolate chip never let me down. But then guess what would happen? Then I started blowing up, and then I got angry and mad at myself. So I said, I need comfort, so I'm going to eat some more. And I started this cycle, and I had to understand, wait a minute. That has become my idol because I depended on it for comfort. And I found out I had to start loving me first and not hope for someone else's love. And God would send these people just random out of the blue, say, I don't know, God just wanted me to tell you he really loves you. Now, I'm a preacher and pastor, never telling everybody about the love of God, but he would send, there was a waitress at a restaurant. She said, wow, there's like a bunch of angels around you, a waitress. And God was like, don't you get it, boy? I'm trying to cast down that image of the reject, because I was rejected by my friends at school. They laughed and talked about me. I was the butt of jokes all the time. Oh, my God. And so that was in my mind, that image. Even as I grew up, though, the image of rejection was still there. So God had to. Oh, I love you. Really? Yeah. He kept replacing, so he would send random people to remind me that I'm loved. He was trying to replace that image. Whew. In my mind. It's still a battle, but I'm doing better at it. Amen. Not perfect, but better. Come on up here and stand with me. If you're willing to put your father's God on the altar, come on up. No shame. I know there's more of you. There was a young lady here last week. She said, I wanted to come up so bad. I prayed with her after service. It's okay. Everybody here has it. Right. So this is a gesture of actually putting it on an altar. We call this the altar. Amen. Now, when I grew up, we actually had a rail and people would kneel down on it. We don't have that today, but it's still the place. It's a place that we set aside to sacrifice things. So you're coming up here saying, I'm willing to put my father's God. And what did God tell Joshua? I want you to make a sacrifice. He said, take your father's bullock. He said, I want you to actually take his bullock that he was going to sacrifice to his God, and I want you to sacrifice it to me. Wow. And it was there God met him. And it was after his sacrifice that he was able to go and tear down his daddy's God. After he made the sacrifice at the altar. People have no idea what your gesture is doing in your mind. They have no idea that picture and what it means to you. They have no idea what being here means to you. You know, and that's all that matters. Thank you, Jesus. And I have to tell you, because God knows what this means right now. And God's going to honor that. Remember, after the altar, he tore his father's gods down. Oh, God. So, all of you are like Gideon this morning, hiding and mighty at the same time. Afraid, but mighty at the same time. Some of you are afraid of your daddy, afraid of your mama, afraid of someone in your past. God says you're mighty. So as I pray for each one of you, I want you to picture, here's the thing, I want you to get a new picture in your mind. You're going to see a new picture of yourself tearing down those gods. Because God told him, those are not gods. They're all speculations in your mind. They have no power over you. Rachel had to take it with her. Gideon tore it down. I'm not taking it anymore. You ever heard someone say, I'm not taking it anymore? Yeah, I'm not taking those gods anymore. So I want you to close your eyes. Father, thank you for each soul here. Thank you for what their being here represents. I'm praying for a divine overthrow of the gods that we have had in our life. Right now, in this moment, in this place, you gave us this word to free us up today. As I'm praying for the, oh, glory to God. The power of the Holy Spirit will do with you what you can't do by yourself. It may seem too heavy and too hard, but God told Gideon, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. Hey, glory. And God did great things through him with a few men. He overthrew the end. Oh, glory. You're going to stop a line. In this, hey, glory about Honda. This generational curse. Stops here. Today. Hey, Kotamba Basia. Iteriamo Sanda. Hekamabo Santoya. My God, the rejection. My God, never being able to please. Never ever being able to hear. You're good. You're smart. You're love. Hallelujah. Replace that with new. Ekayaya. New image in her mind. She is loved. Yes, she's appreciated. She's beloved in the family of God. Yes, God loves you without you doing anything to earn it. Ho! Sayayay. Ho! You do hambabosi. Yes, Lord. A new image, a new picture of you sitting in your father's lap. The Father loving you unconditionally. Hallelujah. My God, no more comparison to the other sibling. Hiya, Baba. Heka, my sonda. I love you. Heka, my siya, Baba. That's it. That's it. My God, you're not what happened to you. Hey, glory to God. The devil wanted you to interpret it as God doesn't like you, that God wasn't there, but God said, I was there. The enemy wanted to kill you, but I wouldn't let him kill you. But I kept you alive. Hamyabasiya. To survive it. My God. Whatever you survive will become your superpower. Yes. Hamababahaya. I want everybody in the church to start clapping your hands right now. Come on. Create an atmosphere of the deliverance. Deliverance here right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. My God, hallelujah. My God, you don't have to be perfect to me. Hey, ha-ba-ba-ba-ba-sia. My God, perfectionism. My God, to reach that unattainable goal. God said, I'm going to give you rest right now. Yes, you want me to tell you, you're enough. You are enough. Ha! Just that you are enough. Thank you, Jesus. Hiya. You don't have to perform. You have to be any greater than what you are. You are enough, Sith. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Sacrifice even the words of your fathers, the words that you idolize. or the words that you never heard. I wished he would have said, I wish they would have said, God said, I want you to sacrifice that now because they're gone, that you will never hear those words. But hear my word. Oh, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Oh, from your mother's womb, I made you in the lower parts of the earth. I called you by your name before the world began. In Hakodiabasanda, replace those words that you never heard with my words. In the name of Jesus, yes, Lord. Start a new line of men in his family. Generational bless, not curse, generational blessing. Yes, Lord. Generation. Oh, Mababosa. Generational blessing in him and on him right now. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. That little boy, that long. Oh, Sikaria Mahanda. Holy Spirit, reformat that little boy's heart and mind. Yes, yes. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, reformat his mind. Let him see that loving father from above that valued his existence. He values your existence. He said, I will never leave you. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you for this soul today. Oh, God, mighty woman of God. My God. Sometimes we will dumb down what we are because we don't want others to feel bad around us. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The Lord says you don't have to dumb down what and who you are, your intellect and your abilities anymore. I made you, I created you that way. In the name of Jesus, my God, you don't have to fit in. Tear down those gods. Yes, yes, those impressions and images that have limited her. My God, tear them down. Bring them down. Cast them down in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Lift up your head, O ye gates. Be ye lift up your everlasting doors. The King of glory shall come in. Lift up her head, Lord God. Lift up the heads that hang down. Strengthen the feeble knees. Let this be the beginning of weeks for her. Let this week be a new year. This is your new year. This is your new year. Starting today, this first Sunday of October is your new year. Yes, that little girl, my God, who longed for a celebration. God said, I'm celebrating you today. I'm celebrating you. Yeah, like a birthday party. The one you always wanted. God said, I'm celebrating you today. Yes, yes. Come on and clap your hands, everybody. He's worthy. He's worthy. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet today. God is here. God is good. All the time, God is good. I want to thank you for being faithful in the absence of your pastor, for supporting the ministry in his absence. Sometimes people are not faithful when the pastor's gone, but you have continued to support. I pray something has been said to help you. Share it with someone. It may save their life. Lord, keep us in your love. Protect us. Remind us daily of your love for us. Remind us that you are the God over all gods. In Jesus' name, amen. Be kind to one another.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.